Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. For those of you who are new here, I'm Elder John Willis with Sovereign Grace Assembly here in Versailles, Indiana. And on our Wednesday night Bible study, we are going through the Theophilus letters. These are the two books that the Apostle Luke wrote to, not the Apostle, Luke's not an apostle. Luke wrote to his friend Theophilus, explaining Jesus' life and the life of the church in Luke and Acts. Tonight we are in Luke chapter 16. We're going to be looking at the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And as some background, we know that Jesus has been talking to a group of disciples, and among the crowd were some Pharisees and scribes. And Jesus has been rather pointed in talking to them, specifically talking to the Pharisees. What he's been saying has made the Pharisees very unhappy, because he's basically telling them that they're not doing what God would have them to do. They're a self-righteous group, and they need to change their ways. Now, Jesus, as we ended last week, has just talked about divorce and remarriage and how bad it is. And from there, he goes right into the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Now, is this a parable? Some people call it a parable, some people don't. Neither Jesus nor Luke say that this is a parable. And unlike all his parables, in this one, Jesus actually names names. He talks about the people in it involved. He talks about Abraham, and he talks about Lazarus. Names them by name. The only person not named is the rich man. So, in looking at it, there's nothing to make us really think that this is a parable, because by naming names, he gives the impression that this is a true story. Personally, I don't think it's a parable. I think it's a true story. It's an event that actually happened. But either way, whether it's a parable, whether it's an actual story, it doesn't make any difference to what he is telling the people. So he goes right from the conversation on divorce immediately into the story. So let's read Luke 16, starting at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, he was rich. He lived well. He had plenty, all that he wanted. And he wore the expensive clothing of the rich. Purple would be used for the outer garment, because that showed people how rich he was. And fine linen would be used for his undergarments, so it was soft on his skin. But, verse 20, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, Lazarus was full of sores, weeping sores that the dogs would lick. And he was laid at the man's gate, meaning somebody had to carry him there. You know, it wasn't just that he walked to the rich man's gate and laid down. Somebody had to carry him there. Now remember, Jesus was talking with a bunch of Pharisees. And the mention of table scraps, the sores, and the dogs made Lazarus repugnant in the eyes of the Pharisees, because they believed that such things were proof of divine misfavor, that God was not happy with Lazarus. They would have seen him as not only unclean, but also that he was despised by God. Now, verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Jesus doesn't say anything about the religious condition of either of these men, but it's implied that Lazarus was right with God and the rich man wasn't. Now, before we get any further into this story, there's some terms we gotta understand. Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, what is Abraham's bosom? In that area, among all religions, the imagery of the afterlife was a great feast that once you died, you would attend a great feast. Now you have to remember, tables were low in those areas. People would sit on the floor and they would lean on each other. Now obviously Abraham would have been the most prominent person there. And the fact that Lazarus was leaning on his bosom means that Lazarus was treated as a guest of honor at this banquet. If you remember at the Last Supper, John was leaning on Jesus' bosom because John was the apostle that Jesus loved. Now we also have to understand this isn't heaven. It's a holding place. And the fact that after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, it's never mentioned again. So, we have to talk about some other terms. Hades. Is a holding place for the souls who are being held until the white throne judgment. Once they are judged, they are sent to Gehenna. Now Gehenna, the best way to describe it is when Jesus spoke about the place where the flames never die and the worm never sleeps. He used the word Gehenna. So, Hades is not hell. Gehenna is hell. In fact, Revelations 20, 11 through 15. You can jump over there if you want. Revelation 20, starting at verse 11, says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Key. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their work. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. the lake of fire is Gehenna. Now, after the cross, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Paul said in a couple different spots, in a couple different ways, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now we know as Christians that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. But the question is, before Jesus died and redeemed his people, where did the saved people go? What happened to the righteous when they died? We know the rich man went to Hades. But where did Lazarus go? Is Abraham's bosom heaven? It can't be. It can't be the heaven of heavens, where the presence of God is. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. And until he died, paid the redemption price for his people, they couldn't go to heaven. Now, as Jesus was on the cross, you remember, one of the thieves said, "Remember me." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Not heaven, but paradise. He went to Abraham's bosom. And then an interesting thing happened. If you remember, in Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. Let's go there. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. And I'll try not to lose my page here. Jesus is on the cross. Matthew 27. We'll start at verse 50. Jesus on the cross. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. 53. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Jesus died. The earth shook. And the graves of the Old Testament saints were opened. But until Jesus was resurrected, nothing happened. After the cross, after Jesus died, he was placed in a tomb. Jesus spent 3 days in the earth. So what happened in those 3 days? Jesus went to paradise, to Abraham's bosom, and he preached to those who were there. And on the third day, when he rose, he brought those Old Testament saints with him. Now, Sheol means grave. Hades is a holding place for the unrighteous. Abraham's bosom, also known as paradise, is where the Old Testament saints went waiting for Christ. They were at the feast. Unfortunately, the King James Bible translated Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna, all three as hell. So it makes it a little confusing when you read about hell to know what exactly the author was writing, what he was saying. So, with all that in mind, we go on to verse 23. We'll back up. So came the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, paradise. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So, Lazarus is in paradise. The rich man is in Hades. One other thing before we go on. Abraham's bosom, after the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, is never mentioned again because it no longer applied. Because now the Old Testament saints are no longer there. They've gone to heaven with Jesus. They've been up there partying for a couple thousand years now. And New Testament Christians don't go there because when we die, we immediately go to be with the Lord. So the rich man's in Hades, and you can see across from Hades to Abraham's bosom, to paradise, which has to be antagonizing. And then he cried, verse 24, and then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hades is a place where the unbearable torments of hell have already begun. We think of hell, the lake of fire, the Gehenna. But Hades is like a prelude to what's coming for them. And you're going to see in the next three verses, and among the miseries are unquenchable flame and accusing a conscience due to the undying memories of your lost opportunities here on earth, and a permanent, irreversible separation from God and everything good. So he cried out, Father Abraham, because he's Jewish. Abraham is the father of the Jews. So he can refer to him as Father Abraham. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, the interesting thing here to me is that this rich man is in Hades. He's suffering, and yet he's still arrogant enough to think that he can have Lazarus do his bidding. Abraham has another view on it. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. During his life, the rich man had received what he saw as good things. He was rich. He had nice clothes. He had all the food he could eat. He could have chosen the things of God, but instead he chose earthly pleasures. And now he's paying for it. And Abraham continues, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Now, honestly, if you were in paradise, why would you want to cross over the chasm into Hades? I think Abraham was just making a point. Nobody from here can go there. Nobody from there can come here. Then he said, rich man, I beg you therefore, father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He's still condescending. You know, he still thinks that Lazarus should do stuff for him. Again, he's asking Abraham to send Lazarus to wait on him. The flames of Hades, they don't atone for sin or purge hardened sinners from their depravity. What you were on earth, you're still going to be in Hades. And you're still going to be that after the judgment, and you're thrown into the lake of fire. So he said, I beg you therefore, father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So he's thinking, if Lazarus goes to my brothers and tells them where I am, they're going to straighten up. They're going to change their lifestyle. So one can assume, it's not said, but you can assume that if he's rich, probably his brothers are rich. And his brothers are probably living the same lifestyle he lived. And he realizes the error of his ways, and he wants his brothers to know about it. Yet Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses and the prophets. Basically, they have the Old Testament. They have the Hebrew Bible. They have everything necessary for salvation. Everything necessary to avoid Hades and to go to paradise. So there's no need to send somebody, to send Lazarus to tell them, because they have the knowledge available to them. And he, again, the rich man, said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Okay? Is that true? No, that's not true. They're not necessarily going to repent. Check my battery real quick. Okay. But he said to him, Abraham said to him, they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. At this point, Jesus is talking about himself. Even though he was going to rise from the dead, people would still not believe. They wouldn't see because they cannot see. And when he says, neither will they be persuaded, this speaks powerfully of the single sufficiency of Scripture to overcome belief. Unbelief is at heart a moral rather than an intellectual problem. And no amount of evidence will ever turn unbelief into faith. But the revealed Word of God has the power to do so. Flip over to Romans chapter 1. If I had a life verse, which I don't, this would be it. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel will save. The rich man had the Hebrew Bible. He had the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets point to Christ. Everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. We find him in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, and we find him all the way through. The rich man had what he needed to be saved. Had he followed the Old Testament, he would have been in Abraham's bosom with Lazarus. But he chose not to. He chose the other way. The question is, which way have you chosen? Have you chosen to follow the earthly delights? Or have you chosen to follow the sovereign Lord of all? The written word, yes. Will bring you to Christ. As you read it, as you hear it preached, and you have two options. You can reject it, in which case you will eventually be in Hades waiting for the return of Christ? At which point Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. You will stand before God at the white throne judgment. Or you could admit that you are a wretched sinner and that you need what Jesus has to offer. It's a simple thing. But it requires that you stop, turn around, admit your transgressions against God, admit you have sinned against God, and beg for his forgiveness. If you've never done that, I urge you to do it right now. Life is short. Eternity is forever. If you have done that, then you should have a burning desire to know God better. And you'll do that by reading his word, by studying his word, by meditating on his word, by asking him to help you understand it. Because some of it can be difficult. But if you will ask him, he will show you. So we're done. I'm going to pray. My battery's about to die. So, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for giving us this opportunity to meet here on the internet and for me to share your word. God, I pray that those who have watched it and listened to it will grow from it. And if there are any who don't know you, that they will turn to you. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my battery's about to die. So have a good week. Don't forget, Sunday morning, 9:30 is our Sunday school. We're going through the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, the 1689 Confession. If you'd like to join us in person, shoot us a message on here on Facebook, and we can get you directions. 10:30, Facebook Live. Elder Stephen will be continuing his series on understanding suffering and understanding suffering. On the book of Job, I can't remember what exactly his series is. It's an excellent series on the book of Job, helping us to understand life better. So make sure you come watch us at 10:30 here on Facebook Live. And for now, go serve your king.